Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. About one out of every three Americans will develop some form of malignancy during his or her lifetime. Despite these grim statistics, doctors have made great progress in understanding the biology of cancer cells. They've already been able to improve the diagnosis and treatment of cancer. But instead of just waiting for new breakthroughs, you can do a lot to protect yourself right now, according to our guest today, Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., holistic health and lifestyle expert and author. As Susan writes about in her internationally celebrated book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, screening tests can help detect malignancies in the earliest stages, but you should always be alert for symptoms of the disease and also adopt a healthy lifestyle to help you prevent cancer and reduce your cancer risk. And Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., is back with us on This Week in America. Dr. Susan, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Rick. You know, with all the years we have been together, we have never tackled this topic before, so I'm very excited about all the good information we're going to give people to help reduce their cancer risks.
Well, there's so much out there that you talk about, and you go to Dr. Susan's website, a wealth of information there. We'll give you that information as we go through the program. But to get started here, give us your overview of cancer awareness, symptoms of cancer that we all should be aware of in our daily lives with ourselves and our loved ones as well.
Yeah, all right. That's a great place to start. You know, sadly, an unfortunate, almost 9 million people every year pass away from cancer. And while many think that it's an unavoidable condition, you absolutely can make numerous lifestyle choices to reduce your chances. And as an overview of what we'll be discussing today, factors that increase your risk of developing cancer at some point, according to the American Institute for Cancer Research, include the following, Rick: being obese or overweight, following a diet high in red and processed meats, eating minimal fruits and vegetables, consuming too much salt, fat, and sugar, smoking, and neglecting to exercise. And maybe you're aware of this, but the American Cancer Society developed an acronym as a reminder of what to be aware of. It's not the best acronym, but I'll go through it. It's for the word caution. C is for symptoms you might want to look for. If there's a change in bowel or bladder habits, A is a sore throat that does not heal. U in the word caution, unusual bleeding or discharge. T, think the thickening or lump in the breast or elsewhere. I, indigestion or difficulty in swallowing. O, obvious change in a wart or a mole. N, nagging, cough or hoarseness. Now, I'll admit it's a rough guide at best, but the vast majority of these kinds of symptoms are caused by non-malignant disorders, and cancers can produce symptoms that don't even show up on the list, like unexplained weight loss or fatigue. So the whole key here is to listen to your body, and any sounds that are different in your body, things going on, sounds of distress, report them always to your doctor.
With us on This Week in America, Susan Smith-Jones, we're talking about lifestyle tips for reducing your cancer risk. Cancer Awareness Month, it's a perfect time to learn more ways to mitigate our risk by improving our everyday habits. Based on the most common risk factors for developing cancer, would you please go through maybe 10 of the lifestyle tips to actually reduce our risk and prolong our lives?
All right. So I love this because I want to make it as practical as possible. There's more than the ones I'll give you right now, but this is definitely a good start. Number one would be, and these really are to stay healthy in general.
Yes,
for reducing cancer risk, but for so much more than that, prioritize physical activity. Now, being, and if there's a reason to get your weight down to where it needs to be, cancer, preventing cancer would be a good motivation. Same with COVID, by the way. But being overweight or obese isn't caused by only following a poor diet. Physical inactivity is also to blame, keeping you from maintaining a healthy, stable weight. But making a change isn't impossible. You want to implement exercise into your daily routine because that's the easiest way to start shedding pounds and getting down to a more manageable, healthy weight. The CDC, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, recommends that adults spend 150 minutes a week, this isn't hours, it's minutes, a week dedicated to moderate intensity aerobic activity with 2 days of strength training. Now, I realize that this regimen can sound a little intimidating for someone who has never exercised a day in his or her life, but rest assured that when you start off slowly and work your way into a normal routine. Maybe you begin by spending 10 to 20 minutes at the gym every day, or in a home gym, or a local park, or working out in your backyard, and then push yourself to stay 10 more minutes as exercise becomes more of a habit, because a simple 30 minutes every day meets this weekly requirement. That's 150 minutes a week. So the takeaway, Rick, on this is that daily physical activity can help reduce your cancer risk.
That's amazing. And again, you start small, you start, and then by increments, you go up to get to that 150 minutes a week. All of this, by the way, information you'll find on Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. How important is diet in all of this? Getting lean, and I guess maybe as important, staying lean. What role does that play?
Yes. Now, as I just said, obesity increases many risks for cancer and many forms of cancer. So calories do count. If you need to slim down, take in fewer calories and burn more with exercise. We'll talk about what to eat in a moment, but the reason this is important because fat cells produce estrogen, and that feeds breast and uterine cancer and other kinds of cancer. And when you have extra weight on your body, that adipose tissue also releases other hormones and inflammatory markers that can accelerate cancer growth. So it is very, very important, you know, stop putting off that you'll start next month, you'll start the beginning of the year, you'll wait till after your anniversary and your birthday. There's no time to waste. Get your weight down to the healthy weight that you've always wanted it to be and keep it there. And 150 minutes a week, don't do all of that in a day. That doesn't mean you can't work out for 150 minutes one day like I might do if I go on a long hike. But it's better to get daily exercise in. So make that a non-negotiable habit as well as good sleep.
With us on the program is Susan Smith-Jones, holistic health and lifestyle expert and author. Her latest book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, all of the information available on our website, SusanSmithJones.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to Dr. Susan's website. How about limiting alcohol intake? How important is that we have a handle on that?
So you might not want to hear this one, Rick.
I'm leaving the room. Let me know when you're done.
All right. If you choose to drink, you want to limit your drinking to an average of one drink a day because excess alcohol increases the risks of cancer, especially in the mouth, the larynx, the voice box, the esophagus, that's the food pipe, your liver, and your colon. And it also increases a woman's risk of breast cancer. And furthermore, smoking increases the risk of many alcohol-induced malignancies. Now, this is important to know, and how much is a glass, you know, how many ounces in a glass. The World Health Organization, Rick, this is astonishing. I don't think many people know this. They list alcohol as a group one carcinogen. And you think, well, why is that? It's just grapes. Well, grape juice is full of the phytonutrient and antioxidant called resveratrol. But once it's made into wine, resveratrol's benefits are mitigated by the alcohol. So even one serving of wine and other alcoholic drinks will increase a woman's risk of breast cancer. That's why I choose not to drink. I've never had breast cancer. I don't want to get breast cancer. One serving is defined as 5 ounces of wine, 12 ounces of beer, 1.5 ounces of distilled spirits, and many glasses of wine are much larger than 5 ounces. So
yes.
I'd say drink grape juice or eat some grapes instead.
I'm voting for Welch's to get us through this unscathed. So all this information, if you just joined us on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com, we're going through lifestyle tips for reducing your cancer risk. How about sleep? What role does sleep play? Every time we talk about a health issue, sleep comes in. It's very important in all phases of our life. How about in terms of cancer prevention?
Yes. Now, the truth is, Rick, that there aren't lots of studies that link more sleep and less cancer. But I say, let's be practical here. Let's make quality sleep a priority, because poor and insufficient sleep increases, let me say it a different way, that if you do not get good sleep every night, if you have poor and insufficient sleep, that's associated with weight gain, which is a cancer risk factor. So you want to shoot for about 7 to 8 hours of good sleep every night. And you and I have done past shows all about sleep, and I've got lots of information about it in my latest book, Wired for High Level Wellness. So I've got my commandments for getting the best sleep of your life and sleeping like a baby.
It's all great information and will help you sleep. We all face, our minds are racing. We've got social media that we want to check into. We got work we want to check into on all of our various devices. How do you balance that with a full night's sleep? You'll find that information from Dr. Susan on her website. I read a lot about vitamin D, how important that is in preventing cancer. Talk about that, and how much is enough?
Very good question here. So many experts, doctors, scientists recommend up to about 1,000 IUs a day. And that's a goal, Rick, that's nearly impossible to attain without taking a supplement. Evidence suggests that vitamin D will help reduce the risks of prostate cancer, colon cancer, breast, and other malignancies. And by the way, we've talked about this before, but the vitamin is also essential to keep you safe from COVID. And studies have shown that about 70% of people hospitalized with COVID, you know, whatever the variant, are low in vitamin D. So I say check your blood level of vitamin D when you next go get a physical or see your doctor. I'm one of the kinds of people that I need to take 10,000 IUs daily to be at the right level in my blood, so I'm not deficient. I don't absorb it well. But in these uncertain times in which we live, especially with COVID and to prevent cancer, you want to make sure you have a healthy level of vitamin D in your system. And the way you know that is you get a blood test done, and your doctor will give you the number, and you see where it is. You want it on the higher end of the scale.
That's interesting. Had you not gone through the blood test and received that information, you would not have known there was a deficiency. So there's so much on the consumer to ask the right questions, to do the right testing. Touched on this briefly. Let's go back to it for a second because it's so important, so much information, yet people, I see them smoking all the time. Avoid tobacco use. Talk about the role that plays in reducing cancer risk.
Yes, yes. And this is near and dear to my heart because many decades ago, my mom smoked. And then she got lung cancer, and it's one of the reasons why she passed away, because it metastasized, even though she stopped smoking. And I'll talk about that in a moment. So we all know that smoking is terrible for you, and a lot of people think, well, I'll just do the juuling. I'll just do those little things I breathe in. They're not cigarettes. They can't be dangerous. They're all dangerous, and they're very debilitating to the body. And according to the CDC, smoking causes nearly 500,000 deaths in the United States every year, and it increases your risk for developing coronary heart disease by 2 to 4 times if you're a smoker, stroke by 2 to 4 times if you're a smoker, and lung cancer by 25 times in both men and women. But that's not the only type of cancer caused by smoking tobacco, or by the way, chewing tobacco. The bad habit can cause the debilitating disease in just about any part of the body, including the bladder, cervix, colon, esophagus, kidneys, liver, stomach. What else am I forgetting? Oh, pancreas, trachea. The list goes on and on and on past that. So, but thankfully, here's a little positive side. Once you quit smoking, your risk of having a heart attack decreases drastically after 1 year. And once you make it to the 10-year milestone, your risk for developing lung cancer, among multiple other cancers, cuts in half. Now, this is interesting. A couple days ago, I went to a gas station and went to the convenience store in the station to buy a lottery ticket. And I saw all these round little containers on the shelves. And I said, what are those? And my friend who works there said, it's chewing tobacco. And I said, I can't believe you have so many. And he said that ever since COVID started, a lot of people who think it's bad to smoke think it's not bad to chew tobacco. But that's where you can get all kinds of throat and tongue and mouth and esophagus, all kinds of cancer. So that's not good either.
So many stories I've read over the years, sports people, like in particular baseball players, that you know, the dugout with the chewing tobacco. In fact, in early days, they did commercials for the chewing tobacco companies, and then they found out, no, that has its own risk. So avoid tobacco use at all costs. I got to take a break here. Come back. I want to talk about the natural whole foods diet. Touched on that again briefly a few minutes ago. Our guest on the program is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, holistic health and lifestyle expert and author. We're talking about lifestyle tips for reducing your cancer risk, and we're back after these messages. Welcome back. This Week in America, our guest on the program today, once again, is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, holistic health and lifestyle expert and author. We're talking about lifestyle tips for reducing your cancer risk. We've gone through a number. We've got many more we're going to go through in the program. If you go to Dr. Susan's website, you'll get all of the information there. I'll give you that as we go through. Doctor, let's talk about adopting a natural whole foods diet, how we go about it, and why it's so important, especially to reduce our cancer risk.
Yes, it is so important if you want to prevent cancer, or if you have cancer, or you want to lose weight and be your healthiest. So it's no surprise that obesity and consuming too much salt, fat, sugar, and red meats go hand in hand. But this fact shouldn't be ignored, especially when it comes to your chance for developing cancer. And I say, why not eliminate all the risk factors and start following a more natural whole foods diet that I detail in my book, my books, Uplifted and Wired for High-Level Wellness. Evidence from long-term observational population studies, and thousands of them, by the way, show that plant-based diets are consistently linked to lower cancer risk. So let me get really specific with this. And I'm not saying, okay, you all have to be vegans, but if you want to reduce your cancer risk, you know, you might want to consider eating fewer animal products. Cancer is, by the way, you probably know this, the second leading cause of death in the United States. But estimates suggest that as many as 1/3 of all these deaths could be prevented with diet and nutrition alone, according to the Mayo Clinic. And for many Americans, what does the diet center around? It centers around meat.
Yes.
And after all, the Department of Agriculture reports that 222 pounds of meat are sold per person per year in the United States, and you can't even add me into that list. But when researchers ask 70,000 volunteers about their diets, then track them over time for years, they found lower cancer rates among people who didn't eat meat at all. And in fact, vegans, you know, those are called plant-based eaters, vegans, who don't eat any animal products, including fish, dairy, and eggs, appeared to have the lowest rates of cancer of any diet. Next in line were vegetarians who avoid meat but may eat something from animals like milk and dairy, cheese, and eggs. But it's also important to note this, that eating meat or not wasn't the only difference between people who did or did not get cancer. People diagnosed with cancer also had higher body weights, were less active, were more likely to have smoked. So here's the good news. You are in control of all of this. You decide what you
yes.
eat, whether you smoke or not, or whether you're active. And many experts and I, as I write about in my books, recommend filling your plate first, top priority, with foods that grow from the ground. Decades of research suggests that the best diet for cancer prevention is all about plants, the real food, not fake, not junk food. That means lots of fruits, vegetables, legumes, with little or no animal products. But if you still choose to eat animal products, make sure it's more like a condiment size and not covering your entire plate.
There's so much that we can do, and so many tips that you've heard about during the course of the program today that you will find on Dr. Susan's website. We're talking about lifestyle tips for reducing your cancer risk. With us on the program is holistic health and lifestyle expert and author Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D. All the information that we're talking about and so much more on our website, SusanSmithJones.com. To get to our website, if you're traveling, can't remember that, although you can remember Susan Smith-Jones probably easier than This Week in America. If you choose thisweekinamerica.us, you can go there, link on directly to Dr. Susan's website, get all of the information on lifestyle tips for reducing your cancer risk and so much more. Let's go back to the list that we're talking about here. And this one is interesting. Enjoy infrared sauna therapy for cancer cell death, something that you've talked about that. Explain that to us.
Yes, and I've talked about the benefits of it with you for a long time. For 25 years, I've been researching extensively the healing benefits of taking, it's called far infrared saunas. They're different from a traditional sauna. They're not as hot, and they're so beneficial for you. It's like newborn babies that aren't doing well. They sometimes put them in a little incubator with far infrared heat.
Ah,
it's
okay.
Very healthy. And in a moment, I'll give you a telephone number if you're interested in getting a sauna.
Sure.
So get out a pen and paper. But we're talking, Rick, about the principle of hyperthermia. Thermia is heat. Hyper is high heat. And that is that cancer cells are much more sensitive to and intolerant of the effects of excessive heat than normal cells. Tumors have an impaired ability to adapt their blood circulation to the effects of high temperature. So said very simply, because cancer cells are weaker than normal cells, they are more susceptible to damage from the heat. And high temperatures can actually kill cancer cells without damage to healthy cells. And by the way, on my website, if you go to favorites, if you go to the blog today, or in the search bar, if you put infrared saunas, I have about a dozen articles with lots of studies that you can read. And according to the National Cancer Institute, and here is their quote, I'm going to begin the quote, hyperthermia, also called thermal therapy, is a type of cancer treatment in which the body tissue is exposed to high temperature. Research has shown that high temperatures can damage and kill cancer cells without injury to normal cells. Many studies have shown a significant reduction in tumor size when hyperthermia is combined with other treatments. And I've looked at hundreds of studies over the decades, but I'm giving you a couple here. In a clinical study in 2009, published in the Journal of Cancer Science and Therapy, scientists studied the far infrared effects on human cancer cells in vitro and on cancer cells in mice. And poor guys. But far infrared therapy reduced tumor volumes 86% in 30 days. And another study in Japan, and they're really big on far infrared saunas in Japan. It's like their number one health practice there, but also in Finland too. But in Japan, researchers discovered that whole body hyperthermia, that means you sit in the sauna, it's not just heat you apply to an arm or a leg, it's you sit in the sauna and that's whole body hyperthermia with an infrared sauna strongly inhibited the growth of breast cancer tumors in mice without negative effects on other cells in the body. And then the quote is, researchers believe this therapy is a promising non-invasive treatment for breast cancer. And I say, if you have cancer or you want to prevent ever getting cancer, or if it runs in your family history, having your own personal infrared sauna in your home to use whenever you wish, I think would be a prudent outlay of funds. You know, it's not cheap. That comes in a one-person size, two-person, three-person. I get the Transcend infrared sauna. I've had it for 20 years. I had another sauna before that, not as good as this one. And I get it in the best place. It's in Boulder, Colorado. It's a company called High Tech Health. Because you can get a sauna made with really inferior wood and toxic glue and other ingredients that go into making a sauna that maybe aren't good to breathe in the sauna. You want to make sure it's a whole body, high level, great experience in a sauna. So that's why I go to High Tech Health. And I made an arrangement with them that anybody who orders a sauna will get, I don't own any stock in the company, please know that, but you would get a $500 discount. And by the way, when you take a sauna and you perspire a lot, you're sweating out toxins. And I wouldn't want to use a sauna in a gym sitting on all these other people's toxins on a bench,
right?
Especially with COVID. And also, on another show, we talked about how the COVID virus can't live in this high heat. So another reason I would not be without my Transcend infrared sauna is it destroys COVID virus cell, you know, virus in your body. So, but the telephone number, it's Mountain Time, if you were to call them, and you can get a lot of information on my website. You can call them for more info. It's toll-free. It's 800-794-5355. 800-794-5355.
And that information is on Dr. Susan's website, susansmithjones.com. Our guest on the program, going through the list of lifestyle tips for reducing your cancer risk. How about molecular hydrogen therapy? We've talked about that in the past. Will that work for reducing cancer risk?
Yes, and you know, we never really tied it into cancer, but there have been over 1,400 studies on molecular hydrogen inhalation. And it's been used on more than 170 disease models. Cancer is just one of them. It's great for brain health, for aches in your joints. It's good for your immunity. But I want to gear this right to cancer. And there was, and I've got over 120 links to studies on my website. But I picked out a couple right here. One is, was a woman who at age 47 years old was suffering from multiple tumors of the brain. And this study showed how important molecular hydrogen inhalation was with her, and also in the future for modern oncology. For maybe 6 or 7 years now, I've been studying the benefits of molecular hydrogen therapy. I think all cancers would benefit with this from one degree to another with hydrogen therapy. The truth is, I'm breathing it in right now with a cannula in my nose. I'm glad we don't have a video, but you can't even hear it. It's just absolutely quiet. And I'll tell you about what machines I have in a moment, but I don't have cancer. I just don't want to get cancer, and I want my whole body to be healthy. Also, it's good to help prevent COVID as well. And it's good for diabetics, and if you have metabolic syndromes, all kinds of brain issues. But in this particular study, it started when the lady was 44 years old. She was diagnosed with lung cancer with multiple metastases in November of 2015. And oral targeted drugs were initiated after the removal of the brain metastases, and most lesions remained stable for 28 months. Then in March of 2018, intracranial multiple metastases, as well as hydrocephalus, that's fluid on the brain, that accumulated in her third and lateral ventricles, and metastases in the bone, adrenal gland, and liver were noted. So I need to breathe in deeper of my hydrogen right now. But the hydrogen gas monotherapy, meaning they just use this one therapy in this woman, 44 years old, started to control the tumor 1 month after they saw that it was metastasizing it throughout her body. After 4 months of doing molecular hydrogen inhalation, the size of multiple brain tumors were reduced significantly, and the amount of hydrocephalus in the third ventricle and the lateral ventricles reduced significantly. After 1 year, all brain tumors had disappeared, and there were also noteworthy changes.
Wow.
in the metastases in the liver and the lung. And these data show that after standard treatments had failed, you know, she had done the standard treatments and they didn't work, hydrogen gas monotherapy, you just sit. You could be sitting at your desk, you could be lying in bed, you could be reading a book, watching TV. You just breathe in the air. This therapy elicited significant, effective control of tumors, and especially those in the brain, and the survival time was lengthened. Let's just touch on lung cancer. That's the second most frequently diagnosed tumor worldwide, and it's a leading cause of cancer-related deaths. And under orthodox oncology, 5-year survival has been reported to be 3.6% when you have lung cancer. And no significant changes in this 5-year survival for patients with lung cancer and metastases to the brain have been observed in the last 3 decades. So keep in mind, people with lung cancer, brain cancer, nothing has helped the survival rate in 30 years. So enter molecular hydrogen. The gas generated usually consists of 67% hydrogen, 33% oxygen, And with a special mask, I don't use a mask. I just have the cannula in my nose right now. It's just more comfortable for me. But a patient, this patient, continued to inhale hydrogen 3 to 6 hours a day. Now, I do it. I sit at my desk and I breathe it in. There's no negative side effect. Even if you did it 12 hours a day, there's no negative side effect. And anyone, any age, can use it, from babies up to seniors. And on my website, I have a one-page, print-friendly, beautiful, comprehensive flyer that tells you all about this. But this particular patient inhaled the air, you know, reading, meditating. You can inhale it while you're eating a meal, 3 to 6 hours a day, with no interruption, you know, just 3 to 6 hours a day, even after there was obvious relief in symptoms. And after 4 months, all of the brain and lung metastases had disappeared. So, wow, and I'll amazing. Give you a telephone number if you want more info or want to order anything. I have 2 units. I have a big one right here on my desk that I'm breathing in right now. It's called their 7% unit at vitalreaction.com, vital-reaction.com. I'd say, Rick, it's about the size of a gallon jug of water. And I have it on my desk because I spend a lot of time at my desk writing. And, you know, I use it at least 10 to 15 minutes a day. But if I can sit longer and work, I might have it on for 4, 5, 6 hours. The more you use it, the better you will feel. I also have a little small, about the size of my hand, you know, my fingers and the palm of my hand. It's a mini portable unit, and I that's in my bedroom. But if I travel or go somewhere, I can put it in my suitcase and carry it that way. So if you want more information or you want to order, and I've asked them to give all of your listeners a discount of, they'll give 10% if you use the code Susan10, all caps.
Okay.
Susan10. And their telephone number is 724-464-5733. They're also in Boulder, Colorado.
Interesting. And again, all of this information you'll find on Dr. Susan's website, susansmithjones.com. I want to take a second here to talk about visualization. How important is visualization with body healing, being strong, fit, cancer-free? Any connection?
I don't know if you remember the late Dr. Carl Simonton, who passed away, gosh, I think it was about 8 or so years ago. But he taught his he was famous for this. He taught his cancer patients to visualize an army of white blood cells coming, attacking, and overcoming the cancer. And if you have cancer, if you know someone who does, I encourage you or him or her to use this visualization technique on yourself, or you can find others online, or you can go to the SimontonCancerCenter.com. But before you go to bed is an ideal time to practice this visualization technique. So I'm going to give a little brief one to you right now. It's short. We're not going to go through the visualization, but I'll tell you exactly what to do. And you can use this technique for cancer or any health issue you may have. Maybe you just want to lose weight. Maybe you just want to be strong and fit and totally healed. I actually use it a few times a week at night before I go to sleep. I'm lying in bed. You can sit in a cozy, comfy chair. You could lie on the floor. If you're prone to going to sleep within seconds after lying on your bed, then maybe sit up in a chair, you know, or else you won't be able to get this in. But here's what you do, Rick. You start by totally relaxing your body with long, slow, deep breaths, and for about 3 minutes, and you breathe in slowly, breathe out slowly. This is called progressive relaxation. It has nothing to do with politics. It's just progressive relaxation. And you progressively relax every part of your body, starting with your toes, going up through your body to your head, and you affirm, you can do it out loud or silently to yourself, my toes are relaxed. Or someone can do it for you, sitting with you. My legs are relaxed. And you go up all the way through your entire body while you're in a chair, lying on the bed, or on the floor. So after 3 minutes of totally relaxing your body, because what does that do, Rick? It takes your brainwave activity from beta consciousness, which is waking consciousness, into a slower brainwave activity called alpha. And then that means that your body takes in these messages more deeply. So what you do next is you see in your mind's eye, like you're doing a visualization in that your mind's eye, you're making mental movies, and you're seeing your white blood cells in your body, and you send them to the tumor locations in the body and visualize them eating the tumor. This is what Carl Symington asked us to do. He was a medical doctor. Visualize them eating the tumor, cutting off its food supply. Send these blood cells wherever there's cancer or wherever you need healing. Maybe you have a broken arm or a big black and blue mark or a earache, a toothache, whatever. You visualize the area being healed. And regarding cancer, you want to stop the cancer cell's ability to communicate with another using these mental movies, this visualization. And then, in addition to the visualization, you want to feel the joyful feelings you would experience with a clean bill of health and give thanks in advance that you are now free of any cancer. Thank you, God. And in robust health and vitality, so you want to do this at least once a day for about 10 minutes or more, and especially once a day for at least 10 minutes if you have the cancer.
You know, this is amazing information, so much that Dr. Susan has given us during the course of the program. And again, you'll find a recap, all of this information, so much more on our website. Before we run out of time and you sort of wrap up the program and we get information on what all is on your website, I want to take a minute or so here. I got one more question. We've talked so much about diet and lifestyle. Can we actually change our genetic destinies? We read so much about cancer being genetic, and sometimes it's sort of like hopeless. I'm either going to get it or I'm not going to get it, depending on upon hereditary circumstances. What's the role of genetic destinies? Can we change that?
Yes, and by the way, it's hydrocephalus. Now, that is not a difficult word to say. Hydrocephalus that I couldn't pronounce before. It's so funny. And I'm so glad you asked this, because a lot of people say to me, Susan, it's in my genes. My mom had cancer. My dad had diabetes. I know it's, I can't avoid it. It's going to happen at some point. No, no, no. We can change our genetic destiny. We have data that diet and lifestyle has an effect on gene expression. And and this is from a lot of great work by the medical doctor, Dean Ornish, a friend of mine, by the way. And after he proved that his interventions could reverse heart disease, he had that great book, Reversing Heart Disease, he turned his attention to reversing early-stage prostate cancer. And his first randomized study with 93 volunteers was published in 2005. And he put half of them on, so listen carefully, a low-fat diet of whole plant-based foods, no more than 10% fat, had them do 30 minutes of walking a day, 6 days a week, and 1 hour of a stress reduction like yoga or meditation, and required attendance at a weekly support group. The control group just followed their doctor's recommendation. And after 1 year, 6 in the control group had required interventions like radiation or surgery, while in the treatment group, his group of the walking, the low fat, the relaxation, his group had no one required further treatment. In fact, their PSA values decreased significantly and tumors actually diminished in size. And then in 2008, he published, I love this, for anybody that thinks it's in your genes that you're bound to get cancer or anything, listen up. He has a groundbreaking study that he looked at the changes in the DNA expression when men, and he's gone on to do other studies too, so it's not just men, it's men and women, who adopted these diet and lifestyle changes. And in this particular study, he enrolled 30 men with early stage prostate cancer, which did not require intervention. And after 3 months on his diet and the walking and the relaxation, like I just said, 500 genes had changed expression. 48 genes that protect against cancer were upregulated, and 453 genes that promoted cancer were suppressed. So this is fantastic news.
Oh, yes.
And he says it works with any cancer. This is strong evidence that for early stage cancers, and it could be later as well, can be treated by using diet and lifestyle that promotes beneficial cancer-suppressing epigenetic modifications. So what's the bottom line of this? Improving our gene expression to favor health and longevity, that's something I want to do. I think everyone would want to do that.
Yes.
And what's more, these epigenetic changes, listen to this, can be passed down through generations if they are made before conception or during pregnancy. Because during fetal development, epigenetic changes in the pregnant woman can also appear in the daughter's ovaries, thereby affecting the next generation. So you do have control over what's happening in your body, and you can reduce your cancer risks.
So much information. I keep saying that because you keep adding more as we go on here. What a wealth of information during the course of the program today. Before we talk about the latest book and going to the website, signing up for the free Healthy Living newsletters, in fact, let's do that. And any closing comments, please give us those and then direct us to the website and what we can find there.
Yes, yes. All right. So, but here's the bottom line. You know, I can sum it up by sharing with you that a healthy lifestyle that we've been talking about is essential if you want to reduce your risk to get cancer, and it includes regular exercise, a healthy diet, enough vitamin D, ample sleep, a fit, lean body, daily visualization, infrared sauna therapy, hydrogen inhalation, and by the way, this all goes for COVID too, but all of this can have a large impact on your overall cancer risk and well-being in general. And I know it can be intimidating to start, so I'm going to refer you to my book, Wired for High-Level Wellness. You might want to check out Uplifted, but also invest in yourself with exercise if you don't know how to start an exercise program. And I've got more detailed information in these books on how to reduce your risk of cancer and to be your healthiest, happiest, and most balanced self. And once you establish a healthier lifestyle, this high-level wellness lifestyle will then become second nature. You'll start living your life to the fullest, I think, the way God intended us to live. So take back control of your life and follow me. I've got all the information in my books on my website to this journey to optimal wellness. And on my website, SusanSmithJones.com, you'll find lots of information about Wired for High-Level Wellness, a wonderful book that's selling all over the world right now. And you can sign up for my free monthly Healthy Living newsletters with lots of great new information every month. Just takes about 10 seconds to sign up.
I was going to say, it really takes literally seconds to sign up, and every month you'll be looking forward to getting the free Healthy Living newsletters. It's very simple, SusanSmithJones.com. Dr. Susan, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Let's do it again next month. I'm sure another really helpful topic we've got to talk about. Always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I look forward to next month.
Once again, our guest has been Susan Smith-Jones. Her website, SusanSmithJones.com. All this on our website, ThisWeekInAmerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.